May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, from Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, reading from verse 14 to the end, and then from the Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and reading from verse 22 to the end. First, reading together Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and reading from verse 22 to the end. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us, and help us in prayer. O Lord, once more we come before thee at the evening sacrifice, and we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near unto us, that thou wilt hear our prayers and our petitions, and that thou wouldest, through thy grace, endear our hearts unto thee at this time, that we might be enabled, Lord, to seek thee, and to know a little of that love in our poor souls that thou dost show unto thy people, that love that flowed through Calvary in thy sufferings and in thy death. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, we want to know, Lord, greater revelations of that love that thou hast shown unto us, that that love may constrain our hearts to thee in true worship and devotion, in a life of love, a life of faith, a life steadfast in that true devotion and worship of thy great and thy holy name. O Lord, we want to know and to realize these great blessings in our poor souls. We want to be shown again and again that we're not our own, that we're bought with a price, even the price of thine own heart's blood. Oh, do bring us, Lord, we pray thee again, this evening hour, into the blessings of thy gospel grace, and give unto us thankful hearts for all thy dealings with us, for thy dealings with us are in love and mercy. And oh, the greatness, Lord, of these mercies. For, Lord, we're those who have to confess many failings, many shortcomings. And, O Lord, day by day, the besetting sins that we know and feel and are brought to confess. But, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for the blessedness of the fountain of thy precious blood. And, oh, that where poor sinners can resort unto thee, can find a healing balm in that precious blood that thou didst shed. And, O Lord, thy mercies to us, Lord, are they? They abound, they are enduring and everlasting. For, O Lord, as we confess our failings and shortcomings, thou remainest the same to us. Thou art unchanged in thy love, and thou art that one, Lord Jesus, who doth continually show to us thy forbearance And so, Lord, we do thank Thee for these rich mercies. Oh, do help us, Lord, to be thankful truly in our hearts and to know, Lord, what it is that our souls might delight in Thee and serve Thee all our days, and that we might be those also that shall be enabled, as we have read together, to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Oh, do help us, Lord. Oh, that we might, Lord, be helped to seek and to find those times and seasons of love and union and fellowship with Thee, to know those times and seasons set apart, Lord, where we may draw near, and also in prayer and in supplication. O Lord, we are conscious of the brevity of life and the shortness of our days here upon the earth. And O Lord, we do not know what a day may bring forth. Lord, all is known unto Thee. But oh, that, Lord, we might indeed be taught to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, do help us. We're poor in and of ourselves, and how slow we are, Lord Jesus, to move and into that true seeking of Thy face. Oh, do come by Thy Spirit, stir us up, we pray Thee, show us our great need of Thee, and help us by faith to live upon Thee and to serve Thee all our days here below. And we do thank Thee, Lord, then, that Thou hast brought us thus far in our pilgrimage journey. Oh, we, Lord, are those that may reflect and look back over the way that Thou hast brought us. And Lord, we can only say that Thou hast done all things well. Oh, yea, Lord, the times of our affliction, the times of trouble and tribulation, that Thou hast done all things well. Thou hast drawn us prayerfully to Thy throne of grace to find mercy, Lord, and help with Thee. And the Lord, we look back again, and Lord, we are enabled to reflect, Lord, the times and seasons that Thou hast visited us and drawn near to us and blessed us with tokens in the way. We know, Lord, that we cannot live upon them, Lord, but oh, if we have known and experienced, Lord, Thy visits, we urge again our case and need upon Thee, that Thou wilt grant those further tokens of Thine especial love unto us, that we might, Lord, again be brought to see and to realize, Lord, that we are those pilgrims in the way to Zion, Lord, in that way that Thou hast cast up for Thy people, a new and a living way. And oh, it is through the cross, a highway, and there shall be an highway and a way, and it shall be a way of holiness. And Lord, it is that Thou hast done for Thy people at Calvary's tree. Oh, there is no other way, no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we do pray for those further confirmations in our souls that we are in the way, the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. Do help us then, Lord, to continue. We thank thee for thy gospel grace. O Lord, may thy gospel have free course across this land of ours. It is, Lord, our mercy, that thou art that one still Lord, that doth dwell with and in the midst of thy people, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, where they are found, according to thy promise. But, Lord, we have forsaken thee, we have turned our back upon thee, and, O Lord, the solemn truth in respect of this nation of ours, oh, how it is turned from godliness unto ungodliness. Oh, that, Lord, the corruption that is now set forth in the land, and where, Lord, thy word and thy truth, Lord, is of little worth, and the solemn truth of the great judgment, Lord, that shall come upon all them, Lord, that turn from thy word. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt have mercy upon us. O, restore unto us, Lord, the blessedness of what it is for a nation to dwell in righteousness. O, that there may be this day many hearts turned to thee, the gospel that is preached. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear, and that thou wilt, Lord, in thy grace, renew many sinners. Bring them back, Lord, we pray thee, as those penitents suing for mercy through thy blood. Lord, do undertake and look down upon us, then, this company of thy people. Watch over them, Lord, in all their path. O Lord, may it be that they shall be enabled to commit to thee all their care, all their keeping. We have a gracious promise. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, Lord. We do pray, may each and every one here be found under that gracious care of a covenant God in the person of Jesus. Oh, do, Lord, look down upon each, and, Lord, guide each through this their pilgrimage journey. Watch over them, Lord, and the seekers in Zion. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto them, those who want to know the blessedness of redeeming love and blood, those, Lord, pressing to thee, and with the solemn and deep complaint of sin and guilt and defilement upon their consciences. But, oh, what mercy, Lord, it is to be afflicted and tried in respect of sin. He that hath begun a good work in you, our Lord, we do pray that thou wilt continue in that work, and that the sinner indeed may be laid low and drawn to Christ for mercy, and that mercy through thy cross. O Lord, we pray for these mercies, and do undertake then for each one of us. Be with us in all our life and path. Those things in providence, Lord, go before us in the way. Rule and overrule, Lord, in all things in our lives here below. And do help, Lord, thy people, that they may be enabled to say, thy will be done. Oh, what mercy it is to be resigned to all thy holy and thy sovereign will. So do, Lord, draw near to each and every one. Subdue all sin, and let not sin have dominion over us. We pray thee, Lord, and we pray for those unable to gather together this time in thy name. Be with them where they are. O Lord, draw near in thy salvation. And Lord, may it be that thou wilt lift up their hearts to thee in prayer and praise and supplication. And Lord, we pray for each of the means of grace across this land of ours, and each, Lord, of those represented here. Oh, do draw near to each and every one. Oh, Lord, look down upon the causes of truth. Oh, may they know thy blessing upon them. Grant words in season to the souls of thy people, that they might know and be blessed with that rest in the gospel of Jesus, where they might find peace in their consciences, and where, Lord, they may experience thy word unto them, being the words of this life. So do, Lord, draw near to them, those unable to gather, those laid aside in sickness, infirmities, afflictions, the fatherless, the widow, the aged and the infirmed. Lord, do draw near to each and every one. Be with them where they are. Lord, bring comfort to their souls, even a word in season to them. Thou hast promised, Lord, that thou wilt not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. Lord, raise it up, Lord. Oh, may they be brought to see and to realize the truth and the blessing, that the eternal God is their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, those arms of love and mercy, to keep and preserve thy people in the arms of the Good Shepherd. So do draw near, Lord, and give them a gracious promise. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, be with the deacons here. Oh, give them grace and wisdom, Lord, not only the church meetings, but also to give instruction, direction and teaching to all, and the responsibilities of the church here laid upon them, to undertake for them, Lord, and help them still to encourage in the worship of thy name, and that, Lord, there may be those fruits following in respect of thy house of prayer here. May there be numbers gathered in, the stranger without. We prayerfully commit these things to thine ever merciful hands. Be with thy servant, Lord, and show him thy word this evening hour. We pray, Lord, teach him by thy Spirit the word that he shall speak. And we pray, Lord, grant him utterance in thy name. And, Lord, open the hearts of thy people here, as thou did unto Lydia, that they might hear and receive and be attentive to the word that is spoken, and send none empty away this day from the means of grace. And we ask these mercies in and through the name and person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 193. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. Hymn 193.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the chapter that we held this morning, the book of the Revelation, chapter 14. Now we read again from verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Just to very briefly reflect a few thoughts that we held this morning in respect of this chapter. The greatness of the blessing to be found one of that great number, 144,000, the whole family of God's grace, number that we cannot number, and yet the blessing and the mercy that John beheld them all by a revelation. Not one name shall be missing, not one name absent from this family of God's grace. Not only will they be called and blessed by and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus, but they will be kept and preserved. And the Lord's dear people, they will never be able to keep themselves. In this family of God's grace, there are no strong men and strong women. Each and every one of them have been humbled under the mighty hand of God, brought to that same place that Saul of Tarsus was brought to, in unutterable weakness and dependence of the Lord. Lord, he was subject to the Lord's will. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Complete submission. And then to finish our course, which is the blessing, the concluding of the words of our text, will be our mercy. And I would ask again that it may be of great concern to every one of us here to beg for that mercy that will bring you each into this fold of God's grace. We've read in God's word that God is a consuming fire. He is a just God, a true God, and a holy God, a God that cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance whatsoever. He is a consuming fire. But what a mercy it is that in the person of his dearly beloved Son, he is a God of love. A God of love. Seek, dear friends, to know this love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you might have this seal and this blessing in your foreheads. A crucified Christ. That you will be able to speak what Christ has done for your soul. And be blessed with that same word that we almost closed with this morning, that Paul spake in respect of the church at Galatia. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified amongst you? What was it, dear friends, that was blessed amongst them? There were those who had the testimony in their foreheads that Christ had suffered, bled and died for their sins and iniquities, evidently amongst them. Friends, pray for it. Then, dear friends, you'll be able to sing this song of the redeemed. A blessed song. To be one of the Lord's ransomed ones. A song of redemption. Just thinking when the children of Israel returned from their captivity, they had a song. A blessing. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. That is our subject, isn't it, today? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. This is the gospel church. Shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It may also have an indication to that eternal joy that is their prospect. No more crying, no more sighing. But pray for this. To be one of those that can sing the song of the redeemed. What a mercy it will to be brought through. What a mercy, dear friends, that the Lord is that one alone that shall keep us and preserve us, bring us through our course. Then we just spoke, these are they which were not defiled with women. Just very briefly, all error, all false teachers, false prophets, and Satan is the head of them. He's got his ministers in the land today. I do believe we have a right, being the Lord's dear people, we have a right to be enabled to seek out those whom the Lord has raised up to be his faithful ministers, It is needful for us that we shall not be those that have been led away with cunningly devised fables. The truth is this, that the Lord's ministers have been sent from heaven, a holy calling by God Himself. They've been called to the work, the preaching of the gospel. And that being the case, the Lord will use them as instruments in His hand. And by and through them, the gospel will be proclaimed and set forth. And in the gospel there are glad tidings and good news, and that of salvation. They will never be found under a lie, dear friends. The Lord will use His ministers to gather His people to Himself. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. He hath set watchmen upon the walls of Zion. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. These are they which were not defiled with women. The false teaching and the false prophets and friends, the erroneous truths that are about today. The simplicity of the gospel, dear friends, is this, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And friends, there was nothing for the sinner to do. There's so much works of the flesh, so many supplementing salvation today. And salvation, dear friends, came through the cross of Jesus. There's no other way unto God the Father. And when the Lord will draw His people to Himself, they will come prostrate before Him, and with nothing in their hands, pleading mercy. And that is the mercy of the cross, and that is the mercy of salvation today. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. The word means this: they were set apart, separate, sanctified. That's what the word means. And the Lord will do that by and through His Spirit and power. He will bring His people, dear friends, from this world, from nature's darkness, to His most marvellous light. It will be the powerful working, effectual working of His grace, that He will separate His people to Himself, to be a holy and a peculiar people to Himself. And they are virgins for this reason, dear friends. Separated by and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just thinking of a word that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in his second epistle and in the second chapter And verse 13, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Everything that we've just read is holy from God, from heaven. Everything, the ministry, the word, the gathering, holy, virgins, set apart, sanctified, brought to God. You see, this is the gospel. For they are virgins, and this is the blessedness of the church, a holy people unto God himself. They are pure in heart and in mind. He's brought them to that place, dear friends, where they have been humbled, made low, and receptive in their hearts to receive Christ and his gospel, his cross. It's a holy work, a separating work. This is the blessing of these, for they are virgins, you see. And when the Lord has set his people apart for himself, they are those that will admire and wonder at the grace that came to them. You see, it is invincible grace, separating grace. We may see it in Saul of Tarsus. He was stripped of everything, dear friends, and left with nothing. Jesus drew near to him, brought the man to his knees. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He could not kick against heaven. He could not kick against God's divine power. He could not kick against his saving grace. He was made receptive for it. And as we have said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was one word that the Lord Jesus spake unto Ananias, which I do believe symbolizes a newborn soul. Behold, he prayeth. They are virgins. Sincere prayer. Prayer from a heart. A heart that has been set free from sin. And a heart that is now under the mercy of a covenant God. Unto this man will I look. God will behold and look upon a man. Unto this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Behold, he prayeth. He was looked upon. And I do believe that is the blessing that belongs to the Lord's dear people. in respect for their virgins. Their worship is pure. Their service and devotion is pure. It is holy. And they draw near to a holy God. And through the merits and the person of the dear Lord Jesus, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. What a mercy it is to be found entwined to Christ, the living vine. Following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are those now that love the Lord so dearly. These are those who want to know more of his love. These are those who seek his word, his truth. These are those that follow the Lord. How was this blessing to be experienced? Jesus says, in respect of his sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Can we see the grand connection here? My sheep hear my voice. Yes, the voice of his salvation, the voice of Jesus in the gospel, the voice of their pardon and peace through his merits and person. And I know them. You see, he knows them. They've heard his voice. They're drawn to him. That voice, such a blessed and a glorious truth. I just want to quote a word that I preached from a few weeks ago. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. You see, they heard his voice. You see, he opened their heart to hear his voice, and his voice was most sweet. Is there any sweeter voice, dear friends, than Jesus speaking to thy soul through his gospel? There is no sweeter voice. My sheep hear my voice. His mouth is most sweet. It means all that is connected with the voice, his mouth. And then the truth. I know them, and they follow me, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And this is one of those great and blessed times and seasons where the church are following the Lamb in the means of grace, the ordinances of his house. I pray that each one of us here are following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. He has promised to be here and in the midst of his people. Are we following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? You see, to worship him, to serve him, to seek him by and through his word, his truth and grace, to have the blessing of the scriptures opened up to our never-dying souls, to live upon his word, his truth. Oh, friends, if we come to this fountain of bliss, dear friends, the word of his truth and grace, this is following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You see, he's a fountain of living waters. And oh, Jeremiah said, thy word was found, and I did eat it, and thy word was to the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. What a wonderful word, dear friends, it must have been to Jeremiah, and particularly the many things that he preached and spoke about in respect of the dear Lord Jesus. And then following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Dear friends, if the Lord has exercised your soul in respect of your great need of him, it will lead you to one course and one place, and that is to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. To follow, dear friends, in his ordinances. And to know that mercy that will bring you to a profession of his name. And friends, to be brought there. This truth. Not to be ashamed of Jesus. Not to be ashamed of him. But profess his name with grace in your heart, and then follow him in his ordinance of baptism. And I pray that there may be some or all here that shall truly be brought to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Jesus passed through the waters of baptism, giving the approval of heaven to the baptism of John the Baptist. And dear friends, I pray that everyone here may indeed be those so exercised, so troubled and burdened in their souls in respect of their sin, that the Lord may help them, and that they might follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And then this evening, following the service, we shall be following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, partaking the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, being brought into remembrance of what the Lord has done for us in redeeming us and blessing us with salvation, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. There is another great branch of worship, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Prayer, dear friends, prayer. Jesus is our exemplar of prayer. He taught his disciples how to pray. Are we a praying people? Where there's life, dear friends, spiritual, there will be prayer. Where thy soul is a living soul, it will be a life of prayer and a life of supplication, a life lived at the throne of grace. Not only coming before him with thanksgiving and praise to his name, but making known unto him all our requests. A life of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. The 17th chapter of the Gospel of John shows to us very clearly the manner of the life of Jesus. It was but one prayer that is set forth there. But friends, he went up into the mountains all night, supplicated before his heavenly Father, prayed to his heavenly Father, and I do believe that his prayers were those prayers concerning the work that he came to do, and then the church that he came to save. I believe in essence that that was the prayer of Jesus, those many nights and in the mountains. In that same way that we have the 17th of John shown to us. And so, friends, Jesus prayed for his church and people. May we be helped to call upon him in prayer and in supplication. It should be a great part and manner of our lives to commit everything to him that concerns us. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And friends, if we are poor enough, helpless enough and weak enough, we shall often resort at the throne of grace. We shall often be committing all our cause and concerns to him. A life of prayer and supplication. Then there is another thought in respect of following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. I may have mentioned this point to you before. But when Jesus was going to depart from his disciples, that is, his bodily presence from them, the disciples were very sorrowful. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. He would be following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. He couldn't follow Jesus at that time. Jesus was going to redeem his soul. He was a man alone then, dear friends. By his own right arm he brought salvation to his people. But following that, he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven at the right hand of his Father. Peter was going to follow Jesus. First he was going to follow him in the ministry that he gave to him as an apostle. He was going to follow his Lord in the work that the Lord had given him to do. And dear friends, are we following the Lord whithersoever he goeth? Are we following in that path that he has ordained for us? Yes, it includes everything concerning our lives here below, our vocation. Are we following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? Some of you here may be being prepared, ready to go forth from the college to work. Dear friends, follow the Lamb. Come to him in prayer. See his mind and will in all things. Follow the Lamb. What his will and purpose is for you. Because, friend, your whole path has been ordained. But come to the Lord. Bow before Him and ask Him that right way that He will have you to go. And friends, if it is the Lord's way, it will be a good way. It will be His way, following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. You know, He is in all our paths. He is never apart from His people. Follow Him. Peter followed Him in respect of the preaching of the gospel. And friends, he passed through many afflictions and troubles and trials in preaching the gospel. Follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These afflictions and these troubles and these trials are intended and purposed for thee, to bring thee closer to Jesus, nearer to Him, to live upon Him and to trust in Him and to have a refuge in Him. These are the troubles and the trials. Peter endured them, but see what thy Lord endured for thee. His troubles, His afflictions, here below, following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Ah, may we be helped so to do. Do not murmur, dear friends, at the troubles and the trials and the afflictions that come in and upon thy path. It may be, dear friends, that there will be those all things that shall work together for good. Following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And then, dear friends, it will be a living by faith upon Him. Follow Him in His word, dear friends. If the Lord speaks to you in His word, follow that word, dear friends. Do not hesitate. Follow the Lord in that word. I don't often speak of myself, but dear friends, I pray that there'll be grace in it and glory to God. The Lord gave me a word to remove from my home and from that part of the country that He'd set me for 55 years. I received His word with faith. I'd been in my present home for 40 years, but a few months. Return unto the land of thy fathers, to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. I followed the Lamb whithersoever He went. I waited upon Him. He also informed me that in removing to the land of my fathers, that He would provide a home for me. And He did. I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee to the place. Ah, dear friends, He brought me to that place. Follow the Lamb. It is by faith, dear friends. Follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Be sure, dear friends, it will be right if it is a word of the Lord. Wait upon Him. I had many encouragements in the way. Things seemed to go on for some time. Some were saying, go to the estate agents, urge them on. have the property sold. I couldn't do that, dear friends. I left the whole of the matter in the hands of the Lord. Followed the Lamb whithersoever he went. The Lord sold it. He sold everything. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And then, friends, this truth, and it will be a great help to us. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Let us seek, dear friends, and pray to be more like him. Oh, to be like him, dear friend, to know more of his nature, to know more of that humble spirit, that contrite heart, to know more of that love and peace and grace in our hearts, to know more of that holiness and godliness in our lives here below. This is following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. To be like Jesus. We do have to pray for this. And then these were they. These were redeemed from among men. Redeemed from among men. And that word redeemed there means purchased. Purchased, dear friends. Oh, I do wish that I could come more and more into a little of what it truly did cost the Lord Jesus to save and to purchase my soul. But I cannot come to that place. I know that my sins were great, multitudinous, a mountain. I know that. I was often in confession and repentance, past sins, offences, crimes. But to come into those sufferings, what it cost the dear Lord Jesus to purchase my soul. We may first think of Gethsemane. See that dear man, dear friends, sweating as it were great drops of blood, pouring out of his pores. His holy soul, dear friends, a pure, holy man, ready to bear the sins and the iniquities of his people in his holy person. For wretched strangers such as I, the Saviour left his native sky, and surety would become. He undertakes for sinners lost, and having paid the utmost cost, returns triumphant home. And then a judgment bond against me lay, law charges too, which he must pay, but found a smarting debt. The garden scene begins his woes, and fetches agonizing throes, and draws a bloody sweat. His back with hardy stripes is hewed, till flakes of gore and streams of blood besmear the frighted ground. A scornful and a smarting crown his holy head is thrust upon, and thorns begird it round. He smarts with nails that pierce his feet. He smarts with hanging all his weight upon the accursed tree. He smarts beneath the Father's rod and roars aloud, why, O my God, hast thou forsaken me? Dear friends, we cannot come into that, can we?
our sins, the wounds, the bruises, the crown of thorns, the nails. You see, we did it. We put him there, our sins. And he paid the ransom price. He laid down his life in sufferings, wounds and bruises. He paid the price. All our debts were paid by him at Calvary's tree, so that we, the debtors, should go free, and he should bear the sin of us all. These were redeemed from among men. Oh, friends, the Lord will help me at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I want to speak a little of the love that Jesus showed to his people. How great was his love, dear friends. When we see that he passed through for sinners, redeemed from among men. And you know, the church have always been purchased, dear friends. Our time is nearly gone, but I just want to, in Exodus chapter 15, and we mentioned that song of Moses this morning, but we have another truth in verse 16 of that chapter 15, and it's part of the song. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Which thou hast purchased. You see, Passover, it may give us an indication of the Passover lamb, till I see the blood, you see. Ah, dear friends, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, and you see, we now belong to him, bought with a price, the price of his own heart's blood. Lord, help me to walk humbly all my days under a sense and a knowledge of thy great redeeming love, which thou didst show to me, you see, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Well, we are the first fruits of his creatures, dear friends. He has redeemed us unto himself. What a mercy it is to be blessed with such words as these. I just think of that word before I just move to the last part. But it is a word that in the first of John, John's epistle, first of John and chapter 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the church are the first fruit of his creatures, aren't they? Oh, blessed truth, dear friends. First fruits. You know, God loves his dear people, dear friends. He loves them so dearly. And see the price, the gift of his dearly beloved Son, that God was going to bring each of his dear people, whom he loved eternally, into a sense and a knowledge of his love. It is all seen in Jesus. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Oh, this is a wonderful truth, dear friends. I know that we will continue, friends, to feel our sins and iniquities day by day, besetting sins. We'll feel and discover, dear friends, our many failings and shortcomings. We will experience much carnality in our hearts and lives. Yes, many failings. But one thing cannot be changed, dear friends. The church will stand before him faultless, there without guile. You know, in Zechariah chapter 8, we have a wonderful truth in respect of the church. Speaking of Zion again, Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Oh, dear friend, there's no guile found in that city of truth. They're pure, you see, and without guile. And also in Zephaniah, we have that wonderful truth also, which is shown in respect of the Lord's dear people. I will also leave in the midst of the afflicted and the poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid, no guile. What a mercy, what a change grace has wrought. And then, without fault, before the throne of God. Well, we just read together in those words, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and in chapter 5. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There is no spot or wrinkle, dear friends, can ever come upon the Lord's dear people. God sees them and he loves them. He shows his favour and his mercy to them because he sees them as he sees his dearly beloved Son. When they were redeemed, they were blessed because all their sins were imputed upon him, and through his perfect work and sacrifice, his perfect atonement for our sins, he wove together a robe, a righteous garment, dear friends. And this garment of his righteousness covereth the souls of his dear people, and God looks upon them and sees them as he sees his dearly beloved Son, without spot and without wrinkle. They're saints, dear friends, and it can never be changed, can never be altered. No, dear friends, and if you think you will ever get any better, friends, this will not change. Yes, we might feel to grow worse, but this will not change. Without fault before the throne of God. And Jesus will preserve us. And friends, we shall be those that shall be blessed, for we shall be kept faithful. And there will be reserved for us, according to the promise of God, a crown of life. Be ye faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. Keep your now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding and great joy. Friends, in that great day, the church will be presented faultless before the judgment seat of God. No condemnation can ever fall upon them. No, they're more than conquerors through Jesus that loved them. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £560, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this service, and members of Gospel Standard Churches are welcome to sit down with us. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon if he is well enough. Let us close with hymn 692. If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise, else he another choice had made, and asked for what the worldlings prize. Hymn 692.
Thank you.
bless the services of thy house this day and those things attended in thy name. Pray thy name shall have the glory and the praise. Pray pardon all that has been amiss. Draw near to us now, Lord, as we seek to come around the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Seek thy presence, Lord, that true and contrite heart, that we might be enabled to come in all humbleness and humility before thee. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.